Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial here in New York. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And yes, Michael, yes, humor is a wonderful thing. Humor and hearing laughter down at the station is a fantastic thing. Keep that going. You two are the building blocks. Speaking about the building blocks and humor, you know, humor plays a very important role in the mating behaviors of the world. I mean, if you don't have people laughing with each other, or the ability to make somebody laugh is something that almost automatically brings with it an attraction. Aren't you attracted to people who laugh? Now, not hysterical laughter, that kind of scary, but there is something about laughter itself that's very appealing. All it takes is a good joke to break the ice, but while everybody wants a partner with a sense of humor, men are usually the ones who crack the wise joke. Now, this is different because men and women are very different around humor. Women will listen to every joke, but they discern it. If it's a good joke, they'll laugh and enjoy it, and they'll be very attracted. But if it's a poor joke, if it touches them badly, then they turn off, radically turn off. So now just think about this in the potential of choosing partners. If a guy's a wise guy and he makes good remarks and he makes humor that is not offensive to the woman that he's trying to attract or the person he's trying to attract, it works. But it could have the complete opposite effect if he does something that in some way offends the sensibilities, you know, just through the humor itself. So matchmaking, or the very idea of people getting together with people, involves a lot of different factors, a lot of what attracts you in the first place. Being able to tell jokes automatically means that you're pretty smart. If you can make an association between something that's happening at any given moment and something humorous, so that's off the, you know, if you could do something off the cuff and you could find up something humorous and it makes your mate laugh, that's a very, very wonderful kind of thing to have. But what does it mean? Some people could do it and some people don't. Don't you wish you had a better sense of humor? At times, the people with the great senses of humor have very fast minds, and they have minds that are not necessarily filled with too many cautionary thoughts. A very fast mind that's filled with watch out, you know, all the time, that's very nervous, that's scared, cannot make the association between something that's happening and something humorous because they're too worried. So one of the things we do when we're thinking about how people are attracted to each other, we think, why are people attracted to someone with a good sense of humor? Because it means that their mind is not too filled with poison. Number one, it may mean that. I mean, it means that they have the freedom to be able to express it. It also means creativity. Now, there are many of you out there who say, I can't tell a joke, or there's nothing about me that's funny. You know, except if somebody saw you doing something, they would think of you as charming and funny. But they don't think of you as a funny person because you may not be creative. But when you see somebody who is funny, you're attracted. Because it means creativity. It means intelligence. It means all those things, unless it's hostile. And if it's hostile, then it may turn you off, but it may turn on other people. See, other people would be responsive to the kind of hostile humor, because you could just, you know, watch any stand-up comedy routine, and there's a lot of hostility in it, and people could be attracted to that because the person is expressing their form of hostility. You know, it's kind of letting out some of their own hostility. So that's just one of the many elements that go into how we choose mates. I mean, how do you choose a person? When you're attracted to someone, your whole body switches. It turns on. It's like hearing the first bars of your favorite song, you know? And though it might feel like magic, it isn't random. it's just too complex for us to discern the harmony of it. We don't know what it is. It's many different notes that go off. Attraction is so subtle that we would trip over our own feet if we were aware of every move of it. If we were aware of everything that attracts us, we couldn't function. So it's got to kind of go on an automatic inside of us. That's why our brains have set us up to draw instantaneous inferences from tiny nuances of behaviors that we see in people. It's what psychologists call the thin slices of judgment. You see something, you say, that's for me, that's not for me. You see somebody with dirty fingernails, right? To you, that may mean something. To somebody else, it means a hardworking man. And to you, it may mean, I don't want those fingers on my body, right? An automatic turnoff. You see somebody with bad breath, or you smell somebody with bad breath. You know, that could mean one thing to you. To somebody else, it can't. It doesn't matter one bit. I know one man who's particularly sensitive to the smell of garlic. And when he smells, he says whenever he has a lover that smells like garlic, he always thinks about eating pizza. He said so he can't put together romanticism and sex with the smell of garlic on a woman's breath. Well, she happened to eat a lot of garlic-infused foods. She happened to like things like hummus and stuff like that where it's subtle. You don't know it's there. And she was one of these people who retained garlic all a long time. Some people eat garlic and it kind of disappears. It goes through your body. Other people eat garlic and it stays in their body forever. You can smell it on their skin. Meanwhile, there's an antidote to garlic, which is parsley. Right? If you eat enough parsley and with your garlic, it kind of does away with it. But as if we care. Do we care what attracts people? Do we care how people respond to us? I care. I hope you care. First impressions of another's attractiveness, our first impressions takes about a tenth of a second. And it'll kind of make us work or not. Now let's look at some of the elements that go into first attraction. Let's start with voice, since we're on the radio today. Voice itself is it's just the tone of the voice, you know, the sound of a voice. An ear-blistering cackle can turn away the most interesting suited. You know, if you have a voice that sounds... Well, no, you know, I'm going to say that's to me, but I know in Thailand you could have that sound and it might be attractive. Because I've heard it in Thai music. But to most people, there is one kind of sound, which is this nice, deep, romantic, sexual sound, turns people on. And then there's another melodious voice that turns people on, a voice that just sounds pretty, you know. It's nice to hear the person talk. And accents are kind of wonderful. We love to hear accents because it somehow energizes our genetic pool. It says, hey, this person may add to our gene pool, you know, because they sound a little different. Maybe that's good for us, you know. English accents always seem to suggest the person's more intelligent than we are, right? Therefore, everybody in England is more intelligent than everybody in America because they speak with an English accent. Right? And certain accents are associated with lower classes. So based on just the voice itself that you hear, you may or may not be attracted. In fact, they found that pitch, which is the way you speak, the level that you speak at, pitch is correlated with hormones. The more testosterone you have, the deeper your voice. The less testosterone you have, the higher your voice. Think about young boys before they turn age 13 or 12. You know, they have very, very high voices, and then all of a sudden, boom, it could be overnight, they develop a deep voice because their testosterone kicks in. So if you want to know one of the things that attract people, voices are one of the most attractive things in the world. Hearing somebody's voices or hearing the voice of someone you love or having somebody speak to you when they have a beautiful voice. Sometimes people have voices that are just irrelevant. you know? I mean, their voices, they're talking without any consciousness, and they're talking with a kind of a patter. And the patter is above the neck. You could tell the voice is not connected below the neck. So it's this high-pitched kind of patter, and they talk at you with it. You know, ba 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 ba. And you're trying to stay interested, but you can't because there's nothing about this voice that feels appealing. And then you add to that garlic breath, and oh, my God, how could you possibly handle it? All right. Well, I knew a psychiatrist who ate a lot of garlic. He worked here for a while, and he ate garlic, like 20 cloves of garlic a day, because he believed it was one of the best cleansing things for his body. He reeked of garlic, reeked of it all the time. And now when people would come in to see him, and he was a psychiatrist, they'd be so offended by the smell of garlic, but they didn't want to tell him. So they would be kind of turning their heads away and not making eye contact. And he would be making notes based on the fact that they didn't make eye contact with him and they wouldn't speak directly at him and they'd be turning their heads away. So he'd be perceiving them as crazy until we isolated the fact that every one of them came back and said, I can't be in the room with that man because he eats too much garlic. He had always worked alone, you know, in his own environment when nobody told him. And when we told him, he toned it down and it made a big difference in his life. I remember once I went down to an institute in Florida with one of these places we ate raw foods, Hippocrates it was, and everybody was eating raw food and everybody ate garlic. And we were so, I mean, we were into raw juices, raw foods, and garlic, and we all had a lot of it. And they told a story about two of the women who were there who decided to go dancing in town. Cab picked him up, brought him to dancing. The cab picked him up and brought him back and tells a story about these women who were complaining because nobody wanted to dance with them. What they didn't know is that no matter how good they looked, that reeky smell turned people away. So smell has a great deal to do with attractiveness. Perfumes could be something that turns you off completely, or perfumes could turn you on. Some men are attracted to perfumes on women. Other men want to be completely removed from them. Women are attracted to men who have, or women are attracted to women who have different smells. And there are different things that will attract you and many things that will repel you. So this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'm talking about the rules of attraction in a different kind of way. I'm talking about the elements of physical attraction. You know, we talked about humor, we talked about smell, and we've talked about the voice. Let's go on to talk about something else. Most important is visual safety. You know, you stand back from somebody and you look at them. And if you look at them, you want to know, are you safe? Now, if the little, we have a little organ in our brain called the amygdala. This amygdala kind of has this, generates this anxiety. If you don't feel safe with somebody and they're at a distance, that's kind of an automatic aversion. Now, to some people it would be appealing, but to most people it's an aversion. There is a thing that results in people winding up having more choices in relationships, and it's called mate choice copying. Let me explain what that is. Mate choice copying is if you see somebody who is attracted to somebody else, you become attracted to that somebody else because somebody else was attracted to them. So if a person has four or five people around them talking to him or talking to her, you will perceive them as more attractive. They did studies in the University of Sausalito, I remember, where they had a number of people who were just as positioned to be popular at a bar. And when the students were asked who's more attractive, they always picked the person who had the most people around them. So having an entourage automatically makes you more attractive. So maybe if you wanted to go out there and meet somebody for the first time, you should hire an entourage to follow you around, because then people will say, oh, that person's popular, therefore maybe I want to meet him. So those things work, you know, and these are other factors that are working, and you observe them all around. There is a thing about your own mood, you know, no matter what. If you want to know what makes you attracted to someone else, the primary thing is the mood you're in. if you see somebody on one day, you know, let's say you're depressed and you feel rotten and you hate your mate, and you just hate all women because they betray you. You hate all men because they're just pigs. Or you're in one of those moods. And it's at a certain point in your hormonal cycle or at a certain point in your life where you just feel bitter. Now, you're not going to be as attracted to somebody as you would if you were in a good mood. So part of what is about the laws of attraction is the mood that you bring to the table. What mood are you in? If you're attracted to somebody when you're deeply depressed, you might want to reevaluate that. And you want to think to yourself, what mood was I in when I met the person? Did I meet them when I was on the rebound? You know, when I felt rejected and lonely? Did I meet them when I was feeling inadequate? Because those are one of the things that lead to attraction is the mood that you're in. If you're in a good mood, that's one thing. If you're in a bad mood, it's another. But if you're in a mood where you feel like you're lacking a personality characteristic, you generally will find somebody who's got that personality characteristic. Like if you're depressed, you'll find somebody who's manic or energetic because you're missing energy. See? Or if you're too energetic, you'll look for somebody depressed because you're looking for some place for that extra anxiety to go. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, in case you just tuned in. We're talking about the rules of attraction, the things that attract people to other people physically. Also in your own mood is situational. You know, what's your situation at the time? You could be attracted to somebody if you have another relationship. You may just turn off. You may say, that's it. I'm done. I don't need anybody else. I got mine, you know? And then the next day, you could have a fight with your mate, and you could feel totally more receptive. Situational is very important. You got fired one day, you could have a certain receptivity to a relationship. Among other things, let's go to the pure physical attraction. There are some things we've learned that are really interesting, okay? The obvious ones, and we've talked about it, what are people attracted to? They're attracted to things that represent health and fertility. In men, you know, George Clooney, the square jaw, the strong face, the strong nose, that is very attractive to many women. To men, they'll look at somebody who represents health in a different kind of way, like Angelina Jolie, because of her thick lips. You know, that kind of suggests she has a lot of estrogen, therefore she's very sexy. So we have a whole bunch of signals of things that we like. Strength. Now, there's this other new discovery about hair on women's head. It turns out that men are much more attracted to long hair than they are to short hair in women. We don't understand why. There are some theories about it. One theory about it is that plush hair, really plush, really well-conditioned hair, means the person is okay, they're comfortable, they have the time to take care of their hair. Right? If they take care of it, it reflects, because hair that's unkempt is very obvious. But hair that is well taken care of is very attractive to people. So hair becomes an important thing, you know. Men also associate personality traits with different cuts. Women with lower hair seem healthy, with long hair seem healthy, intelligent and mature, while women with short hair are seen as more youthful, more honest, more caring and emotional. But in general, men prefer the younger traits in women's faces, but they have a preference, strong preference, for long hair. I think that has to do with some primitive thing about men. You know, like one of the things I learned about high heels, why are men attracted to high heels? And one of the theories that one of the people said was that because it makes it difficult for a woman to run away. Is that the whole thing, or is it because it lifts your butt muscle and makes you look a certain way? But is that it? Is therefore the reason why we're attracted to women with long hair, because we have a mane we could grab onto? Is that the idea? All of these things we're just beginning to uncover. In general, height is preferred in men. the taller a man, for every inch taller a man is, he gets a 5% higher chance of finding a mate. And that doesn't mean they're not available if you're 5 foot tall. It just means as you go up the ladder, the percentages increase. And for women, unfortunately, it is thinness. I know, you know, thinness seems to be the criteria. The thinner a woman is, to a certain point, right, thinness is attractive. In speed dating studies, they found that the women who got the most speed dates, the fastest speed dates, meaning the people stayed with them the longest, were the thinner women. So thinness for women, for some reason, is attractive. Now, that goes against what we believe, because what we believe is that, you know, we want curves for survival, and they're not really explaining it. It may be a new social change. There's also a part that we're attracted to people in our same pedigree, is kind of the word, you know? It's kind of like it's like if you meet somebody, you want them to be somewhere equal to you intellectually, physically, socially, or better. A little better, a little stronger. Now, unless you're a rebel and you want to drag somebody home who's a Rastafarian, who is against, you know, you're somebody from, you know, Connecticut, and you want to bring somebody in who is going to jolt your family just because they jolt the family, and somebody comes in smoking a splint and, you know, wearing dreadlocks, and your family doesn't expect it. Well, you know, unless you want to shock your family, generally people tend to choose people who have an equal level of development. Not to say that Rastas don't have that, because many of them, of course, do, at a much higher level than most of the other people I know. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So in general, you're going to choose somebody who is somewhere of your, I hate to say the word class, but you're attracted to people who look like a match to you because they validate your own choices, your values, your interests, your opinions. It's very difficult to have somebody who's too opposite you. I often wonder how I've seen people who have relationships with neither of them where they don't speak the same language. Have you seen that? I saw a man who was married to somebody who did not speak the same language he did. And he was so wrapped up in his own world, he didn't care one bit. So his whole world was about, you know, whether or not it was all about him. And he kind of liked the fact that she couldn't express anything. That's one level of it. But how do you do that? How do you get along with somebody? Maybe that's different things. Two other elements, very, very important about this, because I want to take your calls today, and I want to take your calls about the things that attract you to someone else at first sight. What's the meaning, you know? And you're going to say things to me like, I like intelligence. Yeah, but how do you see that intelligence? I like good health. How do you see that good health? You know, I like positivity. How do you see it? Another is charisma. I want to talk about charisma for just a moment. Charisma, you can look at charisma as kind of the magic that certain people have when they meet people. You meet a bunch of people, and there you are, and you have this kind of effect on them. How do you have that effect? Well, charisma is defined as a person's ability to induce you to adjust your speech rate, your bearing, or your heart rate. Get that. They induce you. A person with charisma will kind of capture your soul for a moment. And when he or she captures your soul, you see things happen to your body. We are attracted to people who have that kind of effect on our body because we get bored by being the way we are. So when we find somebody with charisma, we're attracted. You know, we feel ourselves drawn in. One other thing is about, there's one more about posture, which is very important. You know, straight posture is a very attractive thing to people. Very, very attractive. It's kind of it's such an unconscious thing. to have somebody who stands tall is very important, as opposed to hunched over or lazy, because it usually means depression. It usually means something is wrong. So posture is a very important feature of what we're attracted to. And then how a person responds to you is an important thing, because if a person looks at you and listens to you with sincerity, you find that very attractive. If you're a woman and you love a man who will lay in bed with you for an hour and speak to you, or listen to you speak to him, and be interested in the words that you're saying and ask you questions, I mean, that's a tremendous turn-on to people. Men like to be listened to, especially if it goes with flattery. Men like to be complimented. Men seem to like that more. But women, I think in general, they just want to have a way to speak. And I think it does something for them hormonally. You know, it releases serotonin just to be able to talk to somebody who's interested in you. How many people do you think are interested in you? Very, very few. We come from families where people don't really care about what we feel, because the only reason they do care is they want to control our behavior. So we generally don't have many sources of people who are interested. You get married. After a while you're married, your wife stops listening to you. Your husband stops listening to you. It's the same story over and over again. It's redundant. Finding somebody who's interested in what you have to say is very, very attractive. Very attractive. And finally, the last one I'm going to bring to you is this one about being unavailable. It's a funny thing. People find people attractive who are less available. Now, I'm not saying so unavailable like a woman being attracted to a married man. That's a different story, but it may be part of the same story. But unavailability, if you meet somebody for the first time and then you call them up 20 times as soon as you meet them, they're going to put you at an arm's length. They're going to put you at a distance. People like people who are slightly unavailable. You can't be available on the first date. I'll call you up. I want to get together with you today. I mean, that may work, and it may both your needs may be fit, but people are much more attracted to a person who's at some distance. We all seem to want what we can have, and playing hard to get forces us to invest more. It makes us yearn more. And we assume, you know, if we yearn more, that the person is unavailable, we think it must be worth it, so we move into that area. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Do want to take your calls after our break today. I want to hear from you about this. I want to hear from you about what attracts you, and what do you think it is about you that attracts other people? I think we're going to find some fascinating things here from this phone call at 212-209-2900. Now, if you do make the call, my friends, and you don't get through immediately, just dial back. Use your redial button and keep dialing, and maybe we can get to you today, because today we're trying to dedicate the time, with the exception of I did bring you some remarkable, remarkable music. Oh, my God, did I bring you remarkable music. Are you ready from this? The piece that you're going to hear, because you're going to be curious about the language, is from Czechoslovakia. Yep. And that is the language you're hearing. And as soon as we do our station ID, I'm going to let you hear that. And then when we come back, we'll continue with this discussion on what turns you on.
Svít jsem zasíná, neplaky lásku má, však jednou bude každý chtít být cigán.
Stick with me, friends, this is remarkable.
Laj, 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 laj. Hej, 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 hej
doufám, že se máš fajn, to tě až do nebe. Furt nějak nemůžu překonat, co stalo se. A tak mám potřebu vyjádřit se, zpovídat se. A nejen tobě, ale všem. Protože ty jsi to mohla překonat, ale dala se mi košem. Nemůžu překonat, že tví rodiče nechtěli. A ty zbyla s černým, jinak by tě z domu vyhodili. Chápu, že se zbála, ale spolu lásko. My jsme to zvládli, bydlení, prachy i děcko. A tak nějak všecko stačilo přeci zabojovat. Říct ne, postavit se, zabodovat. Jenže všecko je jinak, lásko moje. Jsem ďábel pro ty tví i pro ty mý. Ach ne, proč je to tak zlý? Kdykoliv zavřu oči, tak se zamyslím
a slyším tvůj nádherný hlas, nemůžu spát. Vidím tvoje modrý oči v myšlenkách. Jsi moje bílá paní, ale nechci lhát. Já tě totiž nemůžu mít rád. I kdybych chtěl, tak všechno bude proti nám.
How's that? Is that a little different for you? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. That was Gypsy by Jednou, J-E-D-N-O-U, from the Czech Republic. We're taking your calls at 212-209-2900. We want to hear from you today. 212-209-2900. What attracts you? What attracts you to somebody? What makes somebody attracted to you? How does it feel? How does the issue feel? Do you feel attractive? Do you feel unattractive? What's it about? 212-209-2900. Let's take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Thank you for a wonderful show. You're at 1 o'clock. My mind always remembers to tell me get Armand on so I can wake up more. Great show. Now listen, I have been trying to find out for years what is charisma inside the person that has it. Is it genetic? Is it something learned? It's very rare, but when you see it, you know it. But what is it?
You know, I think it may have to do with some genetic stuff because. I have a world I live in, you know. I have two sisters, and both of my sisters are charismatic, and I don't understand it, and I know I am as well. There's something I think that happens inside you that you don't even know you have, but it's an ability to affect other people in a certain way. Now, I think the primary thing about charisma, and I've done just a little studies on it, is that it has the ability to make another person feel safe when they're under your wing. Do you know what I mean?
Not really. I know they seem to be excited in some way. The few times I met people with charisma, and they seem to be...
Energetic.
And happy in a way that it's... Yeah, maybe it's safe. It's like they like me.
Think about Dustin Hoffman. Does Dustin Hoffman have charisma? What would you say when you think about it? No, right?
No, the movie stars just have fame, and it looks like charisma, but...
But some of them do have it. See, some of them have magic. Some of them have this ability to attract people.
Well, when you say it's on the gene, what is it there? Is it in certain kind of
intelligence? I think it may have to just do with evolutionary genes.
Oh, I see.
I think it may have to do with the fact, and I say an upbringing as well, and, you know, just learning how to get by in life. But I think genetically, it's one of the survival genes. Being able to gather people around you is a high level of development.
Okay.
And is there anybody in particular who's charismatic that you're attracted to?
Lord Byron. But he's not. They're poets, Catullus, Byron. But I've never met anyone really that had. I met a couple of people that seemed to be kind, very smart, and were very liked me in a nice way. But they seemed to be excited about something, and it sort of fell out of them onto me, but I don't know what it was.
I hear you. Thank you for calling in. What's your name?
My name is Claire.
Claire, thank you. I'm going to do this as a, we're going to do a program on this. We're going to do a
Great.
Little more study on it.
Great. And
I just want to say
the original Greek meaning of it, I think, is enthusiasm from the gods or something like that.
That's a good thing to know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, we're taking your calls. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes, you're there. Yes.
Yes, I do appreciate your show, and I try to catch you whenever I can, especially when I'm driving on the road. My call is, to answer your question, what attracts me is when I can speak and have an intelligent conversation on current events, health, whatever. And the same, I feel that people are attracted and they see in me is that it's a smart person, positive person. Whenever I speak to anyone, I don't really dwell on the negative things that are going around in my life.
So now, does that mean that you overlook the physical completely if you can meet intelligence?
Yes, because I was once in the early years of my life, and I'm still a young guy, I was once attracted to what I saw outside, the physical. And then I had a very beautiful woman who I was with and I had a child with. But inside, it was just, I could see what they mean by judging a book by its cover. So now I don't look at the physical aspects of a person when I meet the person, but just what they're about when I speak to them.
Well, you know, that's very, it's more likely, I guess, to happen with our audience here at WBAI than it would with other audiences. But I'll bet there are a bunch of other signals that you do respond to that you don't even know you respond to, because who do you choose to talk to? Who do you choose to have a conversation with?
You are right. And this is why I always engage in a conversation with anyone that pretty much looks my way and gives me a smile. But I do have to say, I am married at the same time, and I can't seem to spark that type of conversations with my wife. My wife is a person, and you spoke about dating somebody. You didn't want to use the word class, but dating somebody who's on, let's say, the same level as you. And although I knew that when I was dating my wife throughout the first few years before we got married, I knew that she and I didn't really see eye to eye, but I thought that would change, being that we've met in college. And it really hasn't. She's really stayed this person that doesn't really want to do anything, is not up on finding about her health or career or anything like that, but basically just laid back, want to stay at home, watch television. And even in the type of shows and the music that she listens to, I don't even listen to and watch. And we seem to be arguing back and forth. And it's been like this for 2 years, and we've only been married for about 2 years.
Maybe well, you see, now you're talking about a particular problem here. What it sounds like is that she's depressed. And it sounds like she's depressed and locked into a way of kind of self-preservation. She knows she's married to you. She knows that you judge her. She knows that she feels somewhat like, you know, the two of you can't work it out. She's mad at you on some level. You're angry at her on some level. And this is the way people get with each other. So, you know, you don't have to settle for this. I mean, you don't have to just stand there and say, well, you know, this is the way it's going to be. I'll just walk in the house while you're watching television. You could go seek out some help and say, honey, we're going to go find some marriage counseling, because if we don't find that marriage counseling, this thing is doomed. And I'll bet you she would respond. I'll bet you she'd say, and you'll say, I want to be able to find out what it is that separates the two of us, because it's not going to be a class struggle. It's not going to be that. It's going to be something else. And when you find that, you know, when you take that step, you become one of those men that stand up, because most men don't stand up. They just kind of let it pass. So stand up, you know, grab this person who you once loved and take them with you and say, we're going to fix this as best we can. If we wind up only friends and separating, then that's what we do.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello there.
Yes, hi. Gosh, you know, I hope this doesn't cut off. I just walked out of my apartment. But anyway, I hope, let's just keep our fingers crossed. I think your program is just fantastic. I listened to it a couple of times, especially yesterday, and I was writing down the responses from my left side or whatever, and I found that I didn't really heed it. You know, I was too busy, and I thought absolutely I would do what my creature wanted to do, and it didn't happen. So anyway, that's one thing. What you're talking about right now, I think, is really amazing.
And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to stand still.
Okay, because as soon as I get out of this elevator, I'll do that.
If you walk.
Okay, I'm doing that now.
Yeah, you have to stay in one place because it does cut in and out when you're not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. So now I wanted to say that the charisma issue, I believe, has to do with color. I'm in a color, you know, I have a color science background to kind of among art history background, whatever. And I think that art is really very, very important as far as an expression is concerned, as well as recently I came across. I'm so sorry. There's so noisy here.
Yeah, it really is. Let me stop you for a moment, okay?
Uh-huh.
I know you're a little nervous because you want to be on the air talking to me. I know
it's not because of
but
that.
Wait, stay with me.
I have a thousand other really worse
Hello, hello.
Service.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yeah, yes.
Now, I'm outside where it should be quieter.
Okay, listen to me talk to you, okay?
Okay.
There is a part of you that is lonely.
Exactly.
And that's...
Very much so.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, you know, I, right outside my building here and waving hello to a woman in my apartment building. And, you know, this is my normal, MO, on a day-to-day basis. I'm very, very friendly with almost everyone. I would even say that I could be charismatic, whatever. But I don't have any return for that. You know, I really
don't. You
don't
have a place where you really feel connected to people.
I do, but those individual people do not feed back to me practically at all.
Do you wonder
why? I mean,
why?
I have a wonderful church, I have a choir, I have a lot of friends, I have a large family, and I'm always entertaining them.
All right, do you wonder
why?
Let me tell you something, because it's happening now as I'm speaking to you on the radio.
Okay.
I actually understand why you're lonely.
Uh-huh.
And I understand it by the way that you're talking.
Okay.
There's something about your energy that just moves a little above contact.
Right.
And there's a part of... Stay with me, okay? Don't respond so quickly.
No, I'm just taking it in.
Okay. There's a part of your energy that moves a little bit, and I think it has to do with excitement. I think it has to do with you being nervous about being with people. And what happens when you make contact, it's almost contact, but it always has this edge of nervousness to it. And because of that, unconsciously, people perceive that as something that they don't respond to as much as when they see somebody who they feel like you, because I'm sure you're a wonderful person. I'm sure people love you. I'm sure you have a great reputation. But they don't feel the safety and comfort with you. And in order to do that, what you're going to have to do is, I think you're going to have to find out, what is this edge that you're carrying on the inside? What is this thing that you're carrying with you? Because I suspect there's something from a long time ago that's a pain.
No, well, I've been working on that for many years, and unfortunately, along the way, it was labeled in a certain way that was associated with prescription drugs, okay? And then this news got out to parties that ended up, you know, using it in the way that it was not intended. It was not intended originally at all, but it just kind of happened that it happened to me that, you know, I was labeled in this way and medicated in this way, and now I'm constantly, okay, I'm not saying this is the origin of the problem, but it seems to me that right now what is actually happening in reality is that I'm constantly having to tell people that I am okay because they call me. Whenever I do get a call, it's, we're concerned about you. Because, you know, and they're referring to that fact that maybe I'm going off or something. You know, it never happened. It never, ever, ever happened. I guess I just have a higher energy level. And that's why I get back to color. Okay.
So you think, I'm not going to go back to the color conversation. I hear what you're saying.
Right.
And I'm saying that the very thing, what's your name, by the way?
Dorothy.
Dorothy. The very thing, this very edge that you put out there, which is based on, and you feel is based on a suspicion that people found out that somebody had labeled you diagnostically, psychiatric label, and that label carries you around.
It's not a suspicion, really, but go on.
It's a fact, you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a fact. You see, it's a fact that everybody kind of thinks that you're crazy.
No, I wouldn't say it that strongly, but they do know, you know, both my family, who had to come here from Michigan to rescue me from being committed in 1990, and then my people at my job heard about this and communicated it in an illegal manner, and then other friends heard about it, or, you know, and then I continued to be in the psychopharmaceutical system, Dorothy, for a while.
I only I have to get going because I do have another caller, but I do, Dorothy, want to say something to you. You're a fine, fine person, and I really understand. And, you know, the edge, you explained it to me of what you're going through and what you've gone through, and it's been very brutal for you. I would suspect that the place for you to find some kind of solace is in by volunteering some time in a community away from your community. So like if you live in Queens or, you know, go to a different community, go to Manhattan, go to Brooklyn, and volunteer some time where people don't know you.
Oh,
and see what it's like to share some of the beautiful charm of your beauty, the essence that you have and the knowledge you have. Share that with some other people who don't know you, and so that you can start over again.
I don't want to start over. You know, I am who I am. And my color is daffodil.
Thank you, Dorothy. And thank you for calling in.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there. You're on the air. Hello there.
Am I speaking?
Yes, you're speaking.
Oh, okay. Basically, I in thinking about this while I was waiting, I realized how limited my experience is. And I'm 68 years old, just retired about 3 years. But anyway.
Limited in your experience with what?
In my experience, in relation to what charisma is something that is quite involved. It's actually almost what takes place between two people when they're able to communicate in any way. It's almost something that you take notice of instantly. You know, and apparently it very possibly has to do with the idea that the person that you're exchanging with doesn't have an agenda. It's like you said, the person is not threatening. You know, because we come in with a contract possibly to sustain life. And everything is based on that premise. Even given the complexity of our mind being, you know, animal, but yet far, the way our mind works is higher because I don't have claws and big teeth, so great speed. But, you know, the whole thing is the same, you know. So, in other words, at all times, what is pleasing, what promotes life, if in any way our senses pick up different based on our abilities, our options, or what we think of ourselves, what we've experienced, you know, in other words, so people that have charisma are people that do not, you know, make our senses alarmed in any way.
Well, that's a good description. But let me ask you something. You started the program, you started by saying, what's your name, by the way?
Oh, my name is Ronald Toro.
Ronald, you started by saying that you have you're 68 years old, but you have yet to learn. What do you have to learn?
I have a limited experience from the point of view that, you know, in other words, like I spent a lot of years on drug addiction many years ago. And that was a critical time when I was from, let's say, 20 to 30 to 30-some. Those are the most important years when you really learn, you know, when you can speak on charisma, you know, all the different things you did.
Well, you've come a long way, Ronald. I mean, you've gotten to the point where you're clean. You're not on any drugs now?
No. Exactly.
And you have any relationships? Anybody really close to you?
I have four children, but they're all grown, and I'm still married, actually. But, you know, we're separated like possibly 30 years, but I'm still married with her, and we get along pretty well. I mean, we simply are friends now, but we're still legally married and on good terms.
It's a wonderful thing that you have both.
But what has helped me is, you know, basically what you talk about, the reality of cause and effect, because I embraced this practice for like 30 years already, which is the true Buddhism, embracing the reality of cause and effect, chanting nam myoho renge kyo. But, you know, it's basically, you know, it's an involved practice, involved but yet quite simple. It's a modern day Buddhism, really no different than what the Bible says from the point of view of you reap as you sow, cause and effect. But it's, you know, as we all know, life is much
more. I'm sure, Ronald, you
describes itself much more, you know.
You have a great deal of wisdom to share with people, and you have a beautiful heart. I am thank you for being there. Thank you. Thank you for calling in today.
Okay. So much. I've been listening to you for years, and it's always been a pleasure. And as far as that, can I just mention the lady that you were speaking to?
Yeah.
She sounds terrific. Nothing wrong with her.
Absolutely.
I mean, as far as I can see, sometimes our ego gets in the way of what we think the world has to see us as. And that's a, you know about all that stuff 10 times more than I ever would, or at least the ability to express it. That's where the difficulty is. You can't explain life. It's really art.
Thank you so much, Ronald.
Okay, thank you for letting me express myself. I really needed that.
Sure,
but
good.
Anyway, okay, thanks again.
Bye-bye. Yes, I think Ronald says it very well. But no, 10 times as much as Ronald knows, no. Maybe a little more, maybe, you know. Maybe not. I mean, if you think about the times that he's gone through and some of the rough times that he's had, fighting addiction, having 4 children, grown children. No, Ronald, he's still friends with his wife, too, after all those years, even though they're separated. Ronald, Dorothy, Claire, all of you listeners, you have the wisdom. The wisdom is yours. Mine, I've got a lot of training, I've got a lot of knowledge, I've got a lot of information. But, you know, it's nothing more than what you people know. You know what truth is. Sometimes you get screwed up in your brain because you think a little too much. And you think in circles. But, you know, the true wisdom, you. You. Thank you all for being with me. Thank you all for being a part of WBAI. Thank you all for paying attention to this program and sharing it with your friends and your family all over the globe like you do. If I could ever be of help with you, feel free to call me at 212-757-4488 or email me, armand@thepositivemind.com. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. And I guess since we're in the gypsy theme, I'll play you a little more gypsy music on my way out. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m.